morning. Oh, it's chilly as a witch's titty. But you know what? We have a witch and she has both her titties and she's not cold, so you have no excuse. There she is, the great Leanne Mole.
One, two, check.
And not so cold.
No, not so cold, but Saturday was freezing.
This morning, Leanne and I were both complaining about how we woke up early and everything, but it seems like there's some kind of little demon that's stealing time this morning. So be warned, however your day is planned, you're going to run out of time for everything.
Yeah. I woke up 15 minutes early this morning,
Yeah.
And that saved me 2 minutes. How does that work?
So I got into the car and I was like, how could it take me 5 minutes to get into the car? Because when I checked my phone the last time, I had 10 minutes. Now I've only got five, but there's like five that's unaccounted for.
That's terrible. And
weird.
As I'm changing gears, I'm in first gear, it's 48 minutes past, and second gear, it's 50 minutes
past. Do you think someone, there's a conspiracy that they're playing with the clocks?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Something's going on. All right. Anyway, I also reminded Leanne that if she's feeling a bit uneasy today, then that's probably because 110 years ago today, it was the second day of fighting in World War I.
I knew it. That's exactly set me off this morning.
Those are the things that she worries about.
Got out of bed on the wrong side.
And you were like, I knew it. I knew there was something to do with the second day of fighting in World War
I. You could feel it in my bones.
Right. How was your weekend? Anything fun?
Yeah, so much fun. Especially
really?
At the hospital all weekend. You know, this is what happens when you get to this age. And
I'm your age.
Well, maybe your parents will live longer.
Thanks for that.
It's coming. And then, you know, they show much gratitude. I'm so grateful for my children that, you know, they helped me through things. And that's exactly why I didn't have children.
Oh, so you didn't have to make them feel grateful.
No, so that I don't put them through what we're going through right now. You know, one day we'll have a social life when we're 50, maybe.
So, Jesus. The whole weekend.
Yeah, I know, the whole weekend. Look, we're talking just to get the serious shit out the way.
Yeah.
So my dad is on something called ECMO. You've heard it on Grey's Anatomy or the
No, tell me what that is.
It's a machine that lives next to your bed that takes over your heart.
Mm.
So everything now runs through bloodied pipes into this machine.
Oh, God.
Mm. So that takes over your heart. In turn, he's also going through kidney failure, so he's on dialysis.
Oh, my God. So another machine.
So he has another machine that's running his kidneys.
Basically, you're going to visit the machines.
This
more machines
room is filled with machines and racks of medication. He has, going into his neck, 8 different medications and wires.
Oh, this is not a way to live.
Well, this is what he says, and, you know, you've got to help the patient push through it. He's like, I just, you know, cut the cords. But what your responsibility is to help him get through this. And the thing is that the nursing sister was telling me something interesting. Out of the whole ward, he's the only one who's wailing in pain.
Oh, my God.
And the reason is because they can't give him too much pain medication.
Yeah.
Because in that case, they'd have to intubate, and they're trying to avoid that.
Oh.
So the discomfort from the machines, his brain is misinterpreting as pain because he's a little too aware of what's going on. You know, so, yeah, there's a lot of shouting and giving instructions and pain and a lot of things that I won't even bring up.
But what is this thing that you mentioned about, like, monitoring noise?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's like an ear. There's like a thing.
In the ward.
In the ward that monitors all the noise.
Yeah. So at the nursing station, I've actually
You'd use that in this office.
Yeah. Listen, I want to use it in many places.
Mm.
Can you imagine? But James, I have sent a picture. So this ear is plugged into the wall and it has a green light that makes the shape of an ear.
Okay.
And that means that the sound levels are fine.
Oh, so it actually lights up in different colors if it isn't fine.
Then the center part of the ear is orange. and that lights up if it's now getting too noisy.
Sure.
And then there's a red dot in the middle when it's like go delay.
All right. You this is outrageous. I mean, I really think of a lot of places we could use that.
There
Can you imagine?
Is.
Wow, it's got an air. Look at that.
So I've blanked out all the rest of the stuff so that I don't end up being
in trouble
in muddy water. But there on the right, you see a poster with the numbers on it.
Right.
And that shows you the different noise levels.
But it gives you no description next to it.
It does. I've just blurred them out.
Oh, okay. So what does it say at number at the red? Does it say
Not literally, but I can read some of them to you.
Does it say, this is unacceptable, you loud fuckers?
I have to take my glasses off.
See, I mean, people would listen if you added a bit of swearing to it. Don't you think?
Number one is whisper's voice. Whispering, so only the person you are talking to can hear.
Love a whispering.
Two is a low talking voice.
Yeah.
Communicating at a low volume when your peers can hear you clearly and without causing disruption to the patient's resting and recovery time.
Right.
Three is the orange, that's your talking voice. Talking to your team in a conversational-like voice. Number four is your outside voice.
Oh boy, okay.
Presenting to an audience where everyone can hear. And number five is your screaming voice, communicating in a loud and irate manner.
See what?
Never use this voice when you talk inside the hospital.
I just don't know how anyone needs to be told this stuff. I mean, the patient's different story. You know, if they're in pain and blah, 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 I can understand them making a noise.
Yeah, my dad's made it
cool.
Light up red.
But the fact that everyone else in there needs to be told about your inside and outside voice, again, like who raised these people? Fucking wolves?
I don't understand.
Like you're in a hospital. Imagine me walking into a hospital going, la, 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 la. Hi, everybody. I'm waking people up and making them nervous. And it's just, what are you? A complete savage that you don't know that you haven't figured out that you have an outside voice and inside. Why are we talking to these people like children? You've got a little inside voice. And when you use your inside voice, it's quiet. And when you use your loud outside voice, that's for many people to hear. Like when you're making a speech or doing a big poo. Really? I mean, come on. What's wrong with people? Ugh.
Yeah. And I mean, they must have had, I don't know, 2 days worth of teaching on this shorty, like a conference.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Training session.
I heard a disturbing and horrifying thing over the weekend. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said that there is this new trend going on. There are two things I want to talk about on social media that I'm irritated by this morning. The one is really easy for me to just rant about and then for everybody to kind of hop on board with. Or if you disagree, you think it's great, then please tell me. But this one is weird, and I haven't seen it myself. Maybe I'm just following the wrong people. But there's this... there's this trend that's going on at the moment of women who are proud of their body hair. So they're like showing off their gross hairy armpits and bits of like minge sideburn.
Yeah. It's been a time coming. I mean, there was Miley Cyrus who famously grew her underarm hair and then dyed it pink. And she was, you know,
talk about boh.
No, it's not.
You know what? There are not a lot of rules in society. Let's just admit, like these days, you don't have to conform to, you know, like the dress codes of the 1912s.
And choose between three different hairstyles.
And you don't have to address people by formal forms of address anymore. And you don't have to walk on a particular side of the road if you are going in a certain direction. I mean, these are things that people used to worry about, right? There are less rules than ever. Like you can go out into the world and you can ask people to choose your pronouns for you. And maybe most of them will conform. I mean, it's an amazing thing to be alive now and be able to break all the rules. And trust me, not a big fan of rules. So I get it. Some things though, is it so hard? Do you not think that there's a reason? Are you so clever and brilliant and earth-shattering and spectacularly different to every other human that's ever come that you're going to turn the social order on its head? It's up to you.
Just
it's you.
By.
You are what we've been waiting for to grow your underarm hairs as a feminine, lovely, wonderful, amazing creature that gets to live in 2024. You're going to ruin it all by inverting the whole social order by growing armpit hair and dyeing it blue. Do we need this? Do we need this? Is there anyone on earth who's been, you know, they've just been rallying for this for a long time? Like, oh, if we just had more ass hairs in the world, if we just had more ball hairs, just more cunt hairs, just more underarm hairs, let's just have some more of that. Who is asking for this? Guys, we've passed the point of no return. We don't need women with lots of body hair. This is not something that anyone's been clamoring for. Am I right?
The thing is, you can have it.
Oh.
But why show it off? I am not going to bother shaving my legs in winter. What's happening? Is that inside my head?
Rap music just started. Cameron's Oh Boy just started playing.
Cameron feels he needs to be heard.
Okay, maybe it is the end of the world. Armpit hairs and my phone losing just time. Doing what it wants. Losing time this morning. Just be careful out there, all right? Just start your day with a little trepidation. Be a little more cautious than usual. Just
go slowly, you know? Hmm. No, I mean, I'm not going to shave my legs in winter. There's just no way.
So you're like a Yeti?
But you won't know.
Like a Sasquatch?
No one will know.
Oh, because you'll wear long pants. And
I'm wearing stockings and long boots.
Well, don't show us in case a hair pops out.
You know, but why make a statement and show it off, really?
Well, V. Ruiz is right. He's like, Gareth, you need to get off social media. It's consuming the show too much. All right. You know what? Maybe you're right. I don't usually do any social media over a weekend.
Mm.
So this is something that someone told me. So I didn't find it myself on social media. So, dude, I don't know how to avoid this because this came up in conversation. Not good. Winter leg hair keeps the pants up, says Bitcoin Butt.
Yeah, you could say so much for the crotch and stockings.
I don't know. It's just like there's some things that you think, oh, well, that's a cool idea. That's something new. People haven't done that before. What an exciting new direction for us to take fashion, for example.
Mm.
Right? And I'm cool with that. I'm not Mr. Kill, Buzzkill all the good ideas and we'll miss out on all creativity just because we have to keep things a certain way. I'm not that guy. But
you've also never...
But the hair.
Like, for instance, tattoos or anything permanent. You've never been interested in anything
like that. But I've never said to other people...
Or a grill.
I've never said to
people... jewelry.
Yeah, like, I'm going to come in with a grill one morning. Like, I don't mind if other people do these things. I don't. Mm. You know, I haven't been, like, super judgy about it. I don't mind tattoos. I just don't want any for me. It's fine.
Okay, so then you don't mind underarm hair... But you don't.
I don't want to see it. Like if I see
tattoos.
Okay, so if you're a woman, no, here's the problem. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Is it a woman thing?
No, in this case, it probably is actually. And I'll say that unashamedly. It's like, yeah, you shouldn't have hairy armpits as a woman. It's just revolting. And I'll say, oh, if I see you and you do the Heil Hitler, let's say,
just for instance, you might
walk into my office and instead of going, good morning, you go, Heil Hitler. And I go,
what's that?
And I'm completely oblivious to the Heil Hitler. But instead, I'm like, what's wrong with you? They're like, why? Can't I greet you like that? I'm German. I go, no, it's the armpit hair.
Well, I'm also German.
Also because I'm German. Why are you not like Germans so much? Do you still hate us? Is there still such hatred from the war?
It's not anyway, a woman thing, it's a German thing.
It's a German thing. Listen, don't, please, girls, can we just all like, just have a meeting. Have a meeting and all just say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. This is not a trend we want.
Yeah. You know, there are different reasons for doing these things. You're going to be so grossed out if I had to tell you. You know, for instance, what if you have skin tags and you don't want to shave?
Skin tags. It's like a little piece of skin that's just hanging there.
These things happen when you get older.
Under your arm?
Yes, under your arm,
sis,
under your boobs.
Go to the doctor and have it burnt away.
Yes, you can do that.
But excised.
They do return.
Have it extirpated.
Oh, you get these little, I would never try it, but I've seen online, you get these little shearing things that you can cut off your skin tags with. Oh.
But I mean, you know what? There are... Obviously, there are bearded women and women with moustaches, and they've been on circus, you know,
yeah,
but also, lineups for years. I understand that there are freaks among us, But I reserve the right to call them that and to say, ew, when I see it. I'm not going to be nice about that stuff. That's where I draw the line. It's like, you have a whole bunch of, if you have sideburns as a girl, and you're wearing a bikini, and then I have to see your sideburns, and I know that's not going to happen in winter.
I don't know how many girls' sideburns you think you're seeing.
Listen, I'm just warning you in advance, all right? I need people to understand this is a problem. We can't do this.
I'm so glad I'm not naked right now. My goodness.
Skin tags. Is that
the skin tags?
Is that
all
for
the hair.
Whores to put their price on? That's the best thing I've heard.
I have many.
Oh,
price
that's
tags.
So great. It's all attention seeking, says Louis. All the likes and comments on social media isn't enough anymore. Now they need to do all these crazy things just for attention. I think that's exactly right. I think that's a big part of it. A lot of people talking about politics first thing this morning, so let's just do it.
Okay, our politics.
Yeah, the new cabinet was announced last night by Cyril. By the way, why is this irritating thing that a whole bunch of the anchors on the news channels are doing now? They have to say Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa.
Oh.
Like, we don't know that's his other name, okay? But it's like, there are a bunch of, it must be particularly on ENCA. Eventually, I got so annoyed, I just switched it off.
Since when did it change?
I don't know, but they always go, Matamela, like they know something that no one else does. Like, guys, he's been our president for a while now. We know this. It's not interesting or clever. What are you, trying to fill airtime? Someone needs to take those people in hand. Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa. And we're like, just Cyril Ramaphosa's fine.
Or, he's happy with that. I mean,
like, just short, why are you filling up the time where most of us are on a Sunday night? You really think, oh, yeah, I need more politics in my... I really want to hear more politics
and more
on a
syllables.
Sunday night. You fucking idiots. Just stop it, all right? Stop it. We're here for the cabinet announcement. Frankly, if you just put it on the screen and let us doze off, you'd be getting higher ratings.
If you said nothing and we just read the words, we'd be fine.
Oh, I'm so... Anyway, they announced the cabinet. If he pitches up late again, this guy.
Look, he is busy.
I don't care. He has no respect for the rest of this country. He doesn't care about us at all. And I know everybody was super excited about the government of national unity. You know, I mean, like people I know and respect and care about were like excited about this. I'm like, what, you're excited about people being given their job descriptions by HR? What are you, five?
This is true.
Are you high? What's your story? Is this what gives you excitement in your life? You need to get out more. So anyway, they announced this thing. So let's start off with President, Deputy President. Obviously, the President's the one on screen. Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa. Right. Anyway, so he goes on. And they've got Paul Mashatile. Everybody knew that was going to happen. And then the First Minister announces, like, agriculture. And everyone's like, if there's a change here, it's going to be like Pieter Groenewald, right?
Isn't it agriculture and something?
No, agriculture. Pieter, I'm preparing myself. I'm like, okay, yeah, Vryheidsfront Plus. That makes sense for agriculture.
Put the farmer there.
Right. What did they do? John Steenhuisen. Oh. Agriculture. I'm like, what, like a veggie garden?
Like a succulent collection.
Anyway, I mean, so that's where it started. By the end of it, and it wasn't even long, but it felt like an ordeal. And I suddenly realized again, we shouldn't be spending this much time thinking about and talking about politicians at all. I know a lot of people in the comments are so excited about this, but guys, really, these people are not going to be a part of. Can you name who was Minister of Defense before they announced last night that it was going to be Angie Motshekga, the one who's so disastrous in basic education? By the way, well done to Siviwe Warube from the DA, who's our new basic education minister. But who was the Minister of Defense before this?
I don't know.
No, nobody. You see, because why? Doesn't affect you. I mean, apart from these pathetic people that are in the news media, no one else knows. And as long as they're doing their job, you don't have to know. And that's what I'm hoping will happen for you, for me, the entire human race, is that we will forget all about government, that it will just run in the background. Like a machine, like those ones that are working on your dad.
Yeah.
They must just do their thing. They must go about their business with pipes and messages and screens and medications and everything must just work. And then you carry on with your life and you worry about things that actually matter, your health, your relationships, your business, being nice to people, you know, that kind of stuff. We don't want to be filling our day with these boring people who are in politics who've just been given their jobs by the president, and everyone in the country's like on tenterhooks. You know, someone said to me on Saturday, what do you think is going to happen with the cabinet? I said, I don't know. And they were like, aren't you excited? I'm like, no. Why are you excited?
It's just a job.
That's
like
what you get
say.
For excited. That's how bad you're doom scrolling so much now that you're excited about the cabinet announcement. Let me tell you something. Joe Biden has dementia. He doesn't know whether he's a teapot or a hockey stick today. And he doesn't even get excited about his cabinet announcements.
No, not at all.
Okay, so do you? And he's the president of the United States who has nuclear codes in a football near him at all times in case he wants to blow up the whole world. And if he's not worried about his cabinet announcements, you don't have to be either. Like, there's actual stuff we can care about. And let's do that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do that. But now the blame game starts.
What?
It's going to be.
What?
Now you see load shedding, and what is the DA doing about it? And now you see, oh, this is because of the government of national unity.
Ah, please. Or is this on social media?
No, this is just in my head.
Oh, okay. Because you're not hearing this on the streets.
No.
You go out for a coffee today, go somewhere nice, do yourself a favor. You're going to lose all this time anyway that Leanne and I can't account for this morning. So there's some kind of time demon out there this morning that's going to steal your time.
Hungry time
monster. Do yourself a favor. Either before you go to work or at some point during the day where you get like 5 minutes to yourself, go somewhere nice for a coffee. If coffee's your thing, maybe tea. And just sit there for a couple of minutes and watch people and see what they're doing and see the expressions on their faces. And try to imagine where they're from. Try to imagine if they're single or married, if they have kids. Try to imagine what they are, what their like wildest dream for today would be. And just spend 5 minutes outside of your own head and outside of social media, observing another human being or a couple of them. And enjoy your, like, savor that 5 minutes with your coffee or your tea. And realize, like, that is that's life. And that's actually a way better way for us to all spend our time. Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but you can have the most entertaining day of your life today. It doesn't have to involve someone standing up and doing comedy in front of you. You can just watch someone, and in your head, you can make up a story about how, you know, secretly they have an enormous clitoris. and you could watch them as they walk and think, yeah, it's definitely that that's getting in the way.
It's not their hips, you know, or like a stone in their shoe. It's an enormous clitoris.
And I mean, and suddenly, like, you're enjoying your day. It's really cool. Like, being alive is awesome. And you don't know that the cabinet's going to make a difference in your life or not, but why worry about it? Let these politicians now actually get on it. For the last month, I hate to break it to you, but for the last month, we haven't really had a government. And?
Yeah, this is true.
Right? So let's just go on with our days. Mm. Fill it with things that make you happy. Do the cool shit.
People watch.
Right? Yeah. Bitcoin Boot says, that's what I think of Big Mike when I see him. Balls and sausage. Big Mike, of course, Michelle Obama.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I saw a great poll last week. It was like, if Biden steps down, who should take his place? A, Big Mike. B, Crooked Hillary. C, Gavin the Snake Newsom. And D, who was the other one they said? Oh, Kamala. Cackling Kamala. I can't even do it properly.
I'd take Big Mike over any of those.
I'd take Big Mike as well. I voted for Big Mike.
How did you?
In the poll.
Oh.
All right. So, obsessive people playing with their phones. I watch people on the train here in New Zealand, and I can tell you, I'd rather read a book. Well, good for you, Raven. Yeah, do that. Do that. Read a book. There's some great, great books at the moment. I'm lucky enough that when they bring out new books, they send me some of them. And I'm actually stuck with too many books and too little time,
which
is a good problem to have, because it means I can always pick up one of them. And it can be the most exciting adventure I've ever been on. Leanne is correcting me, a different Leanne here. Not you. You're not schizophrenic.
No.
She goes, Gareth, people are worrying about the cabinet ministers because they're interested to see where competence will be allocated. Of course people are interested. Okay, let's just remember, and I hate to break it to the big DA fans out there. I'm not anti-DA, okay? Because that's also, like, some people think it's cool to be anti them. Just because they're from the Democratic Alliance doesn't mean they're not politicians, and it doesn't mean they're going to be fantastically competent, right? That is a hell of a supposition to make.
Mm-hmm.
You really think that maybe just because, I don't know, who's this guy who, they hired some guy as like the deputy finance minister, he's from the DA. I don't know him. He might be amazing, right? But maybe Enoch Godongwana is better than him, and he's the minister already, and he has been for the last year. So, I mean, to pin your hopes on that, that's like saying, you know, today I'm going to have a terrible day unless I win the lottery. That's like walking up to a stranger and guessing their phone number.
There's no use in having hopes on it, but at least it's a little more interesting than it's been.
That's the point.
There are going to be people who have a time to shine, people we haven't heard of before.
But that's cool. Let's let it play out. You don't predict this stuff. And listen to people who have to say Cyril's second name every time they introduce him on TV. Oh, I don't know how anybody watches those channels. Like I told you, my DSTV was broken for like 6 months. I didn't miss it at all. I'm going to cancel it.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, how many media online are going the subscription route.
No, I mean, really, if these guys... South African news media are going to expect us to subscribe for their crappy content. Good luck to them. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be unemployed very soon in the media business. And good. About time.
Yeah, I haven't subscribed to anything yet. And yesterday, a man was desperately trying to sell me a newspaper.
Oh, yeah?
And I was actually tempted to buy the newspaper rather than have 15 different subscriptions.
Well, you know what I miss from newspapers? There's only one thing, because I'm happy to see them go. I miss the headline. Like, well, you know, they dedicate like the whole front page to something really important. They're like, he's out.
Yeah, you're like, well, yesterday's was the one that caught my eye. Was something it's done.
Yeah. You're like, what? That excitement is cool.
Yeah.
You're like, who did they fire? What's happening? Oh my God, I've got to buy that and read it. You don't get that from a website or from a Twitter feed.
No.
You know, like you can't make the font so huge that it's like a headline. That's the only thing I miss.
Like 40 things you must do before you die. And now it's all just...
A couple of things here. So Snipe says, gee, did you withdraw from Revix? No, I've still got money in there. Sam says, they're stuck with dementia, Joe. Shame, man. Can I just say quickly, because since we've stumbled onto politics, and then we'll get James in here with sport to break the hoodoo. But I've got to say, I'm like really disturbed about one thing. I listen to a podcast sometimes called the All In Podcast, which has got two South Africans who've made it big in Silicon Valley. Really, really smart guy called David Sachs. And then there's a guy called Friedberg, who's also from here. I think they were both from Cape Town or maybe even Joburg, but really smart guys. And I like listening to them, even though I'm not a venture capitalist. It's fun to hear what they're up to because they think of the bigger picture. You know, they're used to looking at a business and going, that's what we want to invest in. That's why it makes sense to invest in that business. Anyway, they were talking, and it put the alarm bells on for me in a big way, because the guy who was, I think it was Sachs, who was saying the biggest worry he has with this whole Biden being demented thing, which now is out in the open, right? You can see all the media people who've been lying to us for the last 3 years saying there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden. He's fine. He's okay. He's great.
Yeah, right.
And then suddenly when you can't hide it anymore because it's in a live debate that millions and millions of people have watched, then suddenly they're trying to reclaim some cred, right? Because now their credibility's shattered.
Yeah.
Unless they suddenly say, oh my God, it's way worse than we thought. Meanwhile, we all know this has been going on for years. I've been saying it on this show for years. Yeah. And everybody's like, it's a bit mean. Like, it's the president of the United States. Now, if he has the dementia that people like me have been saying for the longest time he's had, and that people in the mainstream media are now suddenly aware of, who has been running the government?
Yeah, what's been going on there?
You know, we talk about conspiracies, and we talk about election deniers and all of this kind of thing. is the biggest concern not that the person who's been in charge has been a complete patsy and that the government of the United States of America has been run by shadowy, unelected people?
You don't know
for the
who
past
they are.
3 years. We don't know who these people are. They mm-hmm. might be, you know, graduate students from humanitarian courses at universities in fucking Delaware. You don't know who these people are. I don't know who they are. The American people who supposedly voted for this cadaver of a human being and in a landslide.
Just didn't vote for Trump.
And in a landslide. No, no, they voted for Biden in numbers that even Barack Obama couldn't compete with. Who's actually running this thing? And doesn't it bother everyone on earth, and shouldn't it, that the world's number one superpower, the only justifiable superpower on the map at the moment, with other countries biting on their heels, is being run by people that nobody knows the names and faces of, that have been secretly deciding policy, that have been propping up this husk of a man to speak to us and convince us everything's fine? You know my meme with the dog in the kitchen with the fire? This is fine. It's not fine. This should be everybody's concern. And if you don't care about that, if you're more worried about Donald Trump denying the election on January the 6th, you have got your head up your backside.
But then what can be done? What should be happening?
They should actually call for a commission. First of all, Biden should be removed from office immediately because he's clearly not capable of running it now, and everybody agrees. So what's the point of keeping him in until the election? Second of all, they should go through that White House staff with a fine-tooth comb and say, right, this thing that was decided, that speech that was made, who put that in there? Who decided that should happen? Because it's not the president. And frankly, he's the boss of the executive. So if it wasn't him and his advisors are stepping in, just signing documents on his behalf or whatever, those people need to be fucking court-martialed.
Yeah.
I mean, they
need to be identified.
They should have an absolute top-down analysis of who is making these decisions. Who's in charge? This is unbelievable. It is a shadow government. It is a coup. This is like a conspiracy theorist's wet dream. And I can't believe people are more worried about, like, oh, shame. Poor Joe, he's having a rough time, eh? Guys, there are countries to run here. Just put your empathy and compassion aside for a second and look at the fact that we're close to World War III. That could be a bigger problem, right? I don't want World War III. You know why? I like going outside.
Yeah, there's that.
I like going outside. And although in South Africa, especially in Gauteng, it looks like Chernobyl outside in the winter because it's so miserable and brown and yellow and gray and shit, I don't want it to actually be Chernobyl. I'd really like to not have a nuclear winter. Winter's bad enough. Nuclear winter, much, much worse. So I think it's perfectly reasonable for me to say, let's not have a war. That would be nice.
No, 100%.
Okay, let's get into some sport. Because I can go on this train. I can go down. I mean, really. Like, you want to get serious about these things? This is it. Also, Biden's daughter knows what it's like to shower with a leather jacket. Oy, oy, oy. Biden's been dead for years now. He's just a hand puppet, says Raven. Dude, Obama's been running this shit. He's been making it very apparent lately. Well, if Obama is running this shit, then he's had essentially a third term and is aiming for a fourth, in which case he's breaking the law. And you know, we're going after Trump for Stormy Daniels, for paying off a porn star. And we've got someone who's running a shadow government. Who's more dangerous?
How's that tick of yours?
James, what's happening?
How's it? How you guys doing?
How's it?
Awesome.
Listen, I'll tell you what. A lot of people were very, very, very upset on Saturday with this, with the cricket, hey?
Yeah.
I don't watch this stuff, but I saw on the WhatsApp groups. I'm on the sports show WhatsApp group. I don't
so
know why.
Many messages.
Do I need to be there?
No, probably not. I did see your messages come through while we were talking about the cricket, and I was wondering, does he actually even care?
No, I was judging from the messages what was going on. I don't care at all. I couldn't name a single player in the Proteas team.
I don't think I could name many too, to be honest with you.
And I don't care that we've lost, but I know lots of people do. So tell us what happened.
Well, the wild thing, before I do get to it, is that I found it quite funny that leading up to this Cricket World Cup,
there wasn't much buzz around the Proteas and us doing very much.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden on Saturday, everyone's Proteas spoiled.
Oh, yeah.
You've found that was quite interesting.
I think those are slacker fans, right? So those are the kind of people who they'll also just join in any trend that's on social media.
Yeah, yeah,
so if everybody on social media starts eating Tide Pods, remember that was a thing once, then they'll do it
Tide
too.
Tide Pods was wild.
Those people they reveal themselves all the time, and yet we have not yet banned them from devices.
That's so true.
No, it should.
No, I agree. So yeah, we did end up losing that game. There was a point where South Africa needed 30 runs off 30 balls. That's how close it was. But India ended up walking away, winning by 7 runs there. So that happened. That's the end of the T20 cricket. That's India's second title win for the T20 Cricket World Cup.
Okay.
Then in the world of Formula One.
Are we just going to move on from it that quickly? Because
I mean, what else is there to add?
There are some other people here. That,
we haven't made it to
the cricket gave me a hernia, says Sam. A hernia.
Well, so there were actually people that were genuinely interested in it.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
That means says the Proteas are consistent. I mean, first T20 final.
I'll tell you who's our new deputy minister of sport.
Who?
Gaetan McKenzie.
No, he's our new minister.
Is he minister of sport?
Yeah, he's the new minister of sport.
Okay, so if Gaetan's the Minister of Sport, maybe he can, like, threaten him with a... You know how he says, I'm going to kick ass.
Yeah,
he goes,
yeah.
I'm going to get into government. I'm going to kick ass. I'm like, okay, good.
I'm invested.
I was hoping for him to get police, but okay, yeah. Sport. Mm. Get our sports teams
up there. He was
hoping
for police.
It's interesting you said that, because I was speaking to someone last night as the announcements were being made, and I sent a message to someone saying, Gaetan's the Minister of Sport. What does that mean? And this person actually said it's good. Like, he can bring the heels for these teams. And
he posted a picture of him, like, in tracksuit pants with just his socks on, sitting on, like, the edge of a bed. It's like, you know those scenes at the end of a porno? It's like, why are you posting that? But he is going to be entertaining. I mean, I'm glad he's in the cabinet. I really am.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fun. And I think, you know, he's the kind of guy who could add a lot of value in sport. Who knows? He's got a personality. He seems to know what it's about when winning comes into the equation. Most of our sports ministers are just not winners. They never have been. So maybe he can change that. Because if we have a winner in place as a sports minister, then he will let that winning trickle down. And we might actually have something other than the Springboks or our swimmers bringing home some gold.
We've had some questionable sports ministers in the past now.
Listen, if Gaetan gets Bafana right.
Ooh.
Yes, sis. Then, I mean, we must give him the freedom of all the cities.
I will watch all of their games, I swear.
No. Okay.
So, yeah, that happened for the Proteas this weekend. In the world of Formula One, quite an interesting weekend at the Red Bull Ring. Max Verstappen was leading the race to take home another pole position, but it didn't go to plan. Him and his mate, Lando Norris, they're actually real life.
They had a little...
Exactly. But they're actually like real life friends. So everyone was invested in like what drama comes out of this, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Nothing huge out of it just yet.
Right.
George Russell did end up winning the Austrian Grand Prix, followed by Oscar Piastri and then Carlos Sainz in the Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
That's changed the standings of the driver's standings. Leclerc has gone up now into second. Verstappen's still topping the list there, Norris in third. In the world of football, huge shocker this weekend. Round of 16 started at the Euros. Italy, who are the current title holders, they've been knocked out by Switzerland. They lost 2-0.
Yeah.
On Saturday, Germany played Denmark. They won 2-0. They're through to the next round. England played Slovakia last night. And boy, was that a game.
England, I saw even Piers Morgan getting super excited about this. That worried the hell out of me. I'm like, oh no.
I don't understand how a team can go from... You have the potential to be world-class superstar team vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And just absolutely no way. They've got so much talent on their bench and on the field.
Yeah.
And young talent, which is obviously super, super important. But they barely squeaked through against a team like Slovakia in a Euro knockout game, which is very, very worrying.
Okay.
So yeah, that's England's whole issue. Football may or may not be coming home. I don't think it is. Spain also
is coming home. God help us. I don't want to hear that ever again in my life. God.
Spain played Georgia last night. They won 4-1. That's the team I'm rooting for. They're playing Germany in the next round of the Euros. And then some exciting fixtures for the rest of the week. France take on Belgium today at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Portugal take on Slovenia. And then the Netherlands take on Romania tomorrow. So that's in the Euro recap. Then also this weekend, UFC 303 happened. Pereira beat Jiří Prochazka with quite a knockout, actually. Ben called it.
He did call that one.
Yeah. So good on him. That's Pereira's title defense for the second time there against the same guy. And then lastly, I'm bringing it back to America. I'm bringing it full circle, guys, because that's where you guys were just now. The NBA draft happened not so long ago. LeBron James's son got drafted. In the second round, he was the 55th pick. It gets even wilder, right? So now Bronny's going to be playing with his dad at the Lakers.
Yeah.
Okay. We love this for us, right? Not only that, but LeBron's best mate is apparently now the new head coach of the Lakers also. And they have a podcast together. So now it's all vibes at the LA Lakers.
Very nice. I see how excited you are about that. That makes me happy.
I mean, basketball.
We're so
basketball.
Happy for you.
Yeah, I'm so happy for you. Good. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, James. That's about it for the sport.
All right, yeah. Push off.
Okay, I will. See you later.
Come on. That's enough from you. Got Dr. Hanan in a couple of minutes. He was also obviously... I messaged him over the weekend because I got a message from...
Oh, did you need help?
No, one of our listeners sent me a thing like, can I please ask Dr. Hanan a question? So I just screenshotted it and sent it to him. And he's like, that's a good question. So I think he wants to deal with that this morning, which is always fun. And I got to point out this about people who are still all super excited about how diverse and amazing our cabinet is. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's lots of people who really like things to look pretty, whether they work
like
or not.
Instagram feed.
Yeah. And there are tons of ministers, tons.
Yeah.
We have way too many ministers. And what you've got to remember is not who's in what position, because actually in politics, it doesn't matter. I mean, Blade Nzimande is like Minister of Forestry or something. Oh, no, Science and Technology. Blade Nzimande, an old communist, is Minister of Science and Technology.
Oh, it's going to be interesting.
So you're excited about that. Good for you. You know what the only effect of the cabinet is going to be on your life and your wallet? It's going to be how much it costs you. Each of these ministers costs a fortune. Then we sometimes have some of these departments with two deputy ministers. So everybody's going, well, at least there's one from the DA and one from the ANC. Or they go, oh, it's good that the DA haven't got this one. Good for you. It's going to cost you more, you dummy. That's all. It's just going to cost you money. So good luck. We'll see how it goes. I am not a government optimist. I am a South African optimist. I'm optimistic about the country. I'm optimistic about the people of this country. I'm not optimistic about politicians. I never have been. You can go back and listen to any show that we've ever done.
No, it's more about whether this person's going to do less or more damage, really.
That's it. It's like, you know, when you hire construction people and you're like, well, they're either going to be 8 weeks late or 12 weeks late.
Yeah. Which
and you're hoping for 8 weeks late. That's it. I mean, if the president can't even be on time to tell us when it's, you know, you just know you're not dealing with serious people here. That's all. So don't get too excited about politics. There are much better things to worry about. Let us talk to Dr. Hanan. I presume he's on the line. He is. Let's talk to him. He's the man we want to hear from today. And I've got this question from somebody. She wanted to remain anonymous, so I'm not going to out her this morning and ruin her reputation, because it's like involving, you know, family, and she's got things she wants to ask and all kinds of stuff. So I sent this to Hanan. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
James, sort that shit out. here it is. A question for Dr. Hanan while James is messing around. How do you teach a teenager that feelings are unreliable and to be guided by how you feel is not the way to live your life? I mean,
because that's exactly what the doc says.
This is what you told us like just the other day. Yeah. So she carries on though. She says, the bungee jumping example that you often give, she's clearly a fan, doesn't really resonate with younger people. So so much of what young people feel about themselves is how they look. Maybe you've got some specifics in that respect. How do you get teenagers who live in an age of social media to come to terms with their appearance and learn to love themselves as they are? That's a good place to start our Monday morning. It's not just teenagers. I think all of us worry about how we look, even the people who say they don't care, right?
Right. You can hear me clearly now?
Yeah, go ahead.
So there are a couple of questions there, and they're all quite important, quite valid. First of all, we all are in agreement that emotions are pathological liars. They don't always guide us in the right direction. Sometimes what feels right is completely wrong, and sometimes what feels wrong is completely right. And the reason why is because we gravitate towards familiarity. So our brain thinks that what is familiar is right, and what is unfamiliar is wrong. So naturally, that's why what could be good for us, which is the unfamiliar, feels terrible, and what is familiar that is could be bad for us feels amazing. So we can't trust our feelings. We've got to trust other things. And right. What I always tell parents, especially when they communicate it to children, when depending on the child's age, you want to obviously communicate that in a palatable way. But when we're talking about young children or teenagers, you don't obviously say to them, listen, your emotions are not important. Just move on. Because obviously, I mean, we live in a culture these days where emotions are way too important. It's like what you feel means everything, and it should mean everything to everybody. And I'm much more of a fan of working through the resolution. So instead of focusing on what you feel, let's talk about what you can do about it. So to a teenager, if you failed at something, let's not focus on the fact that you feel sad or disappointment or hurt or frustrated or you don't like yourself or whatever the emotion that might come up. Let's focus on how you can do better. If you had broken up with a girlfriend, let's not focus on the fact that you're hurt and disappointment and sad and angry at the world or at yourself. Let's focus on what can you learn from it and what could you do better. So it's like, you know, when we're dealing with kids, if you think about it, I'll give you an analogy. If a child falls on the jungle gym, and the child said, I'm sad, the parent, the functional parent, is not going to spend the next hour and a half talking about the child's feelings. The functional parent will talk about, all right, well, let's just get back on. Let's just get back on, because the parent knows that within 30 seconds, the child will forget about the fact that they fell and start enjoying themselves again. The focus needs to be on the resolution, on the action that makes the lesson make you better. In other words, the fact that you failed is okay, that's just data. That is just information. The fact that you fell, the fact that you broke up, the fact that you didn't make it, the fact that you didn't realize whatever it is that you wanted to is just information that makes you better. So to answer the question, how do you deal with teenagers? And by not telling them, well, by highlighting the fact that emotions are not important, you don't say that, but you focus more on what can we do next to make you better.
All right. So in this case in particular, it's also about how her son thinks he looks. And I've never, ever met a teenager who thinks they look fantastic, right? They're always comparing themselves to someone else. They always think that they are not the coolest and not the hottest deep down inside, even if they actually are. So you're really dealing with people's perception of how they are seen rather than how they're actually seen.
So when it comes to teenagers, obviously social media is loaded with compare yourself images. So we look at influencers, and we all want to emulate them, and we all want to be just like them, and we all want to achieve what they've achieved, and it sets an unprecedented and completely unrealistic goal for teenagers. And here's the rule, and we've discussed this within the concept of the coin theory. The more you invest into something, the more you value it, the more you care about it. The less you invest into something, the less you value it, the less you care about it. So if I invest 1 million rand into a business, I care about it a lot more. I value it a lot more.
Look at me. I wasn't upset with the cricket at all. It didn't do anything to my weekend because I don't care about cricket. I didn't invest a single cent.
Exactly. But if I'd asked you to watch cricket for the last year and really invest in the players and the statistics and all the teams and all the, you know, the bettings and the fact that South Africa would have lost, especially think about, like, imagine you invested R1 million into South Africa winning.
I'd be devastated.
That would have been exactly. Yeah. So the more you invest in something, the more you care. So we can't expect kids to invest into social media, which really highlights the importance of looks and images and how you portray yourself, and not care about it. Yeah. So if you want, as parents, if you want to help your kids deal with that side of things, you got to get them to invest into other things that they should value. So sports, social connections, education, reading, interesting podcasts, self-development, anything that they would invest into that helps them develop and grow. So it's the more they invest into social media, the more they're going to care about it. The more they invest into other things that they should value, the more they're going to care about that.
Delete TikTok, shout at them more. I mean, this is what I would do if I were a parent, right? Delete TikTok. In fact, just take their phone away and crush it under the car's wheel. They'll never, ever replace it with anything. Make them a Luddite. They're only allowed to use things that are too heavy to carry around with them. And then shout at them a lot. This is the kind of parent I would be. So that the peace they find is when you're not shouting. Being at school is nice because you're not shouting at them. They don't have to hear you shouting at them. Then their lives will be 10 times better. Don't you think that's a good idea, Doc? Wouldn't I be a great father?
Mm.
So let me offer an alternative. So
that's very diplomatic.
So realistically, you can't veer children's attention away from social media unless you're prepared to take away a phone or use it as a consequence to get them to behave and, I don't know, do their homework and make sure that they achieve certain things. So one thing that as parents you have to understand is that you're not going to logic it out of your kids. So if your kids value looks, you're not going to be able to sit them down and logic it out of them that looks is not important. So to your analogy with the cricket, if you invested
I mean, what if you say to them, look, we all understand you got a big ugly nose. How about we pay for you to have it fixed?
Well, all right, let me offer an alternative. So imagine the cricket again. Imagine you've lost everything you have because you've betted on South Africa winning. And I turn to you and I say to you, Garrett, don't worry about it. Life is more meaningful. It's bigger than that. Money's not important. You're not going to listen to me. It's going to go in the one ear and out the other. Because logic and emotion work on two different frequencies. So if you as a parent, if your kids are going to invest in social media and therefore in their looks and image, you as a parent, you've got no chance logicking it out of them. You got to get them to experience life in other ways. You got to get them to get out of their phones and start living life in real life.
You just said something so amazing. And you do this every now and then, you drop one of these pearls of wisdom. You said that logic and emotion run on different circuits. Something like that.
Yes.
They can't run at the same time. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%. Logic and emotions don't work on the same frequency. You can't, it's like oil and water, they just don't mix. So when somebody's really angry, you can't logic it out of them. When somebody's really anxious, you can't logic it out of them. No. When somebody's really upset, you can't logic it out of them. So if you try to logic somebody's emotions away, you will lose every time. They work on two different circuits. They work on two different frequencies. They don't match. So instead of working through emotion with logic, listen to this. The recipe is you got to work through emotion with experience. Experience will change the emotion, not logic. So if you have somebody's feeling upset about something, if you get them to experience something else,
throw them
that will
exactly
but jokes aside, sorry to interrupt, Leon, but jokes aside, changing your physiology, like cold immersion, cold ice bath, letting them listen to music, watch something interesting, anything that taps into your five senses will completely change your physiology and therefore completely change your emotion. If somebody's feeling sad and you dunk them in the pool, they will stop feeling sad. If somebody's feeling disappointed and you make them listen to music that they're really passionate about, their emotions will change. Mm-hmm. If you change somebody's physiology, you will change their emotion.
This is very, very good. Okay, I can imagine lots of people doing insane stuff just to experience something completely different to how they're feeling. But who knows? I mean, maybe we've helped the person in the WhatsApps earlier. But I think that you've dropped some incredible wisdom for us this morning, too. In any case, as you always do, it's very good to spend time with you, Doc. We must go for a lunch sometime. I think it'd be fun to sit down and talk nonsense with you and not deal with all these ongoing problems from these moany listeners of mine. Ugh.
I would love that. Let's do that.
Bye. That's Dr. Hanan.
I'm
only kidding about the Moni.
Moni listeners.
I like the Moni listeners. Bring it on. I see someone saying here, Raven makes a very good point, actually. You see, he says, children's brains are not fully developed. There's no understanding of consequences. So everything is in the now. I'm glad I'm not a parent. Good luck to all the parents. Pride flower, pansexual. Oh, I think that's like the flag and the symbols that they're using there.
Oh, right.
The emoticons.
Emojis, yeah.
Emoji? What's the difference between emoji and emoticon?
Nothing.
Nothing. The same thing. Mm. I will tell you what the other thing is that I'm really tired of seeing on the internet. I didn't see it this weekend. I saw it during the week. I don't go on social media over weekends. But I think it'll irritate you too. And you know what? There's nothing better than getting annoyed on a Monday morning. It's just the best. And we've got that and a whole lot more coming, including Leanne will tell you why. When you've taken all your vitamins, you feel nauseous. Mm. Have you ever had that?
That bore feeling.
She'll tell you why. She's got the solution to your problems. All of that is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Real Network, The Gareth Cliff Show with Leanne Moll, me, and you.